Oh, and if you want to know what we're laughing about, ah, well, you should have been here. Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in technology. There is a little treat for you on YouTube, however. If you go to British Tech Live on YouTube, you'll be able to see what we were just doing with Batwench's mom and all the other dockers. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, I've got a fabulous, fabulous panel. I think we're going to have a rave tonight because the pre-show was awesome, just awesome. Starting us off, the man top left who's changed more Twitter handles than Teflon has.
Is that the best you could
say? Soliam says, aka My Productive Mac, aka Lee Garrett, aka Reggie the Dog.
Reggie the Dog?
Oh, you don't know who Reggie the Dog is? Come on.
No idea.
You don't know who Reggie the Dog is? There you go. That's right. So I'm gonna give a prize away to whoever can tell me who Reggie the Dog is in the chat room. And if you can give me his address as well, you get an even bigger prize.
Excellent.
Are you serious?
Serious? Reggie the Dog? No idea.
Apparently, back when his mum says cow off.
No.
I don't know if that's a GPS coordinate or not, but right, Reggie the Dog, there you go. Reggie the Dog and his address, please, before the end of the show, otherwise you're all banned, because that's ridiculous that you don't know that. How the devil have you been, Lee?
I, the devil, have been absolutely superb, Mr. Rankin. Life's been pretty good at the moment. It's been a good week, nice and busy, loads of stuff on.
Working from home today.
Sorry, say again?
Working from home today.
Yeah, it's been working from home pretty much all week, so that's... The benefits of being a consultant, sometimes you can do that and get away with it. It's
excellent,
good.
Mate. Mr. Batwinch has left the chat room. That's probably best. next to him, it's Kelly G. How's it going, girl?
Not too bad. How about you guys? Well, I have to ask. I was here for the pre-show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very odd at 1 in the afternoon to walk in and find out that all of a sudden it's after dark.
That would just put a picture of a black Labrador in. That is not Reggie the I've got to edit it now. That is not Reggie the That is not Reggie the Dog Woman. Okay. So how have you been, Kelly? Sorry, I was distracted by a black Labrador.
Okay. My knee is healing and it has gotten slightly less ridiculously hot. So things are improving.
Are you hopping around the place now a bit more freely?
I am. Less crutches, which is very exciting. So
good man.
That's been nice.
Excellent. Woman even. Excellent. Last but by no means least, it's our man in Look East, new studio. What have you been holding out on me, boy? You've got an entire freaking new studio.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was there.
With auto cues and big fudging cameras.
Yeah, no, I was a bit bored. Old G4 Jim was coming for a pint yesterday. I thought I'll give him a bit of a tour around, and I kind of wandered into this little room off the side of where our office is, and that freaking thing's there. It's amazing.
So you've got a full-length green screen,
mm-hmm.
and you've got teleprompters and broadcast quality cameras. Have you got audio there?
Yeah, we've got the full, and next to that is the full editing studio, not the posh ones, but for huge editors' chairs and the big screens and all that sort of shit. Oh, sorry. But that's yeah, right. We got all of that, and I didn't even know we had it, but that's part of what I'm doing for a living now.
So next week, you're not doing the big show from Google Plus, you're doing it from there full blown, surely?
I'm thinking about it, yeah. I'm thinking I might ask the governor to let me have a go in there. It's pretty sweet.
Hot Boss is going to let you do it.
She is.
Does she know her nickname is Hot Boss yet?
Not yet, no. So I've only been in the job 4 days. Maybe middle of next week, I'll let her know. No.
And is she going to be guesting on it?
Well, you never know. What sort of shows we could do from that sort of studio.
Awesome. Excellent. The Week in Tech. Who's got a story? Who wants to start us off? What's been happening? What's been going on? Apparently, there's an update now, actually. Last week, we talked about the guy who shot the drone, if you remember. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the update to that is, and this is where he's fallen down, is the guy that was arrested for shooting the drone and charged by the local Kentucky police, or Louisiana, Kentucky police, he was charged with shooting it for criminal damage, which it was absolutely, but his defence was, no, it was buzzing right down over our house, not realising, clearly unintelligent enough to know, that the guy who was flying it had the telemetry thing switched on. So the guy who was flying it has come up and said, no, I was 200 foot above his house, mate, here you go. And he's produced all the telemetry for it, showing that he was 200 foot above his house, not 20 feet above.
Interesting. So
Did the drone shoot first, says Deepan? Well, it might have a camera, if you want to shoot in that respect. Who's got a story of showing for us then to get us going, to start us off right? He was already queued up with that one. Look at that. Unbelievable.
Now I'm in the world of media design. I'm a pro now.
He's got the fastest finger. Garrett wasn't far behind, it has to be said. He was just a fraction. Samsung looks into spam ads appearing on their British smart TVs. Tell us more, righty boy.
Well, it's interesting. I was wondering what to bring this evening, because obviously Thursday evenings is kind of bring a story, and Windows 10 has been dominating. And I was talking to Jim in the pub today, and I was like, really annoying things happened to my TV lately. I've got a Panasonic Viera TV. And since the last software update, when you load it up, you get a home screen. So it's got your what's on TV right now, what's coming up next, and like the weather, the things I put there. But they've stuck a freaking banner ad on my TV.
All right.
And they won't let me go and do anything for at least 5 seconds. So you turn the TV on, you must look at their banner ad for 5 seconds before you can do anything. And I thought, well, that's really annoying. And I thought, maybe I'll just bring it to the show because it's annoying me. But then the register, and that's the link I put in today, have actually said that Samsung today are being investigated, the fact that they're sending spam ads to all of their TVs. And I thought, well, what the hell's going on? You've bought the TV, you paid for the TV, why the hell are they showing me adverts on my TV?
Did you fill in the warranty or the guarantee card and send it back?
I did. I always do that. Oh, did you? Can you imagine me not like filling in one of those cards and sending it back? Well, I did it online though.
Did you read the terms and conditions before you signed it and sent it?
Well, no, I didn't. And now I'm going to be high and mighty without having said I haven't read it and all that sort of thing.
No, I never fill those guarantees in because they ain't worth the paper they're written on. Because you've got a warranty requirement for 2 years under the... And I got someone the other day, I told Muller this, and I got a tripod that failed, and it was over a year old. And I got I'm sorry, sir, it's only a 1 year warranty on this. And I said, nope, it's not, it's 2 years. And they said, no, it's not 2 years, it's 1 year on this, it's a manufacturer's warranty. I said, no, European Union requires you to give 2 years. And they said, no, it definitely doesn't. It's only, I said, look, it's got a little light in it. You push a button and it illuminates the spirit level. So it's an consumer electronic.
Really?
I'll have 2 years, please. And they went, oh.
But the thing that annoys me is I don't mind the banner ad so much, because they started off kind of putting it on the screen. I didn't mind because I could like flick straight past it. In the latest software update, they've put a 5 second delay before I can do anything that forces me to look at it before I can do anything else. But then they just got me thinking about advertising in general, because I think a lot of us we're kind of blinkered to advertising, especially online, because if you look at a web page now, you kind of look at the content, you don't really look at the adverts anymore. I think a lot of us kind of ignore them, don't we?
Yeah.
And it got me thinking back to a story I nearly did a couple of weeks ago, is where YouTube are doing the 360-degree adverts in Google Cardboard. So they're obviously trying to make adverts more interesting. So you can get these 360-degree adverts. But it's like, traditional advertising doesn't work. Maybe for Google, the click-throughs aren't working anymore. And I think the only way that companies actually think that advertising is going to work is that to actually force you to look at it. Because you go to a lot of websites now and you think, oh, that's a good story. You click on it and you get a full-size banner. But for me, that really puts me off buying that product. I just wondered what everyone thought about kind of having advertising shoved down their throats.
I mean, you are protected. Jufro Jim's put the Sailor Goods Act in, which I'm not sure the Sailor Goods Act is definitely going to help you with this one, other than the fact that the condition that the thing was sold to you in was a fully functioning TV without advertisements. Mm. Therefore, you could say it's no longer of satisfactory quality because it's now showing spam. That would be a tie into that, maybe. But I think you've got a definite case to tell them to stuff off, and I think they'd have to. I don't think there's any, and even if you filled in the warranty card, I was joking, I don't think there's any terms and conditions that says, oh, well, by the way, we can put any shit we like on your TV.
But I understand that if you have a service, you get adverts, but the fact they feel that they have the right to, you know, Samsung are doing an investigation as to why British customers are getting spam on their TV, but they've obviously programmed that into the televisions. What are they investigating? The fact that they've already done it?
It's got to be in the firmware, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Paul, with what you're saying with regards to filtering on web, with advertising on websites, etc. Because I think as the more we use it, we've just conditioned ourselves to naturally filter through those adverts. And I'll be sitting there on Amazon or Facebook or wherever it is, and I probably don't see half the adverts that are sitting on there because, you know, we've just genetically changed in that way. So they're in a position now where in order to get us to take notice of them, they've got to force them down our throats almost. It's a bit concerning that this is, I think this is the second Samsung article you've done with regards to their tellies in about 3 months, isn't it? Because you covered the one where they were recording everything that was being said or something on those lines. I forget the details.
Was that Samsung?
The second time
you're in Samsung, trouble, isn't it? Yes, yes.
Yeah. What are they up to?
Yeah. Back in February, they're kind of listening to what you were doing and watching what you were watching.
That was it.
Right, right.
Yeah. I don't know that they're doing anything. It's just that they've given license to someone to use their platform and they're doing it. Perhaps.
Yeah. I'd say I don't mind so much. If I go through, like, YouTube's not so bad. Sometimes they'll serve you a 10-second ad, but generally they'll give you, like, a 5-second skip, and then you can go on. And I go to websites, and if they say you've got to watch a 30-second video to watch a 10-second video, I generally turn off. I think that advertising on online is getting generally offensive now, because I don't think they're making the revenue that they hope to make or didn't used to make. And they're just finding more snide ways to do it. And the thing with the Samsung one, the good thing about my Panasonic, there's a way to turn it off. But if you look at the story that I put in the chat room, on the Samsung one, there's no option to turn it off. And that's a little bit crass.
Yeah,
horrible.
If I get any adverts on web pages that I can't close or can't mute, then I just close the web page. I'm not interested in the story you've got. You got the clickbait, you got me through to have a look, now I'm not interested, sod off, and I'll go to another place that doesn't do that shit to me. So I think a lot of places are understanding that there is a backlash, most definitely.
Yeah, there's a bad reputation, like Bieber. How terrible are they advertising on all sorts of rubbish, aren't they? They're always it actually damages the brand, because I think, well, I don't advertise with you because it's so intrusive, and when you actually try to close it, it actually says no, you can't.
Did you get the X10 stuff back in the day? Did get the pop under X10 ads that we had to put up with? Oh, it was awesome. Wait, not awesome. The other thing.
I've been getting MacKeeper ads at something. I can't remember what it was. And I was just kind of like, the bit where you bought like a whole chunk of advertising and you've suffered the effects of buying that chunk of advertising right at the start. I don't believe that to start with anyway, but the stuff that's coming out now for them is not. And what gets me as well is when they click on it, it goes through and it says, oh, there's something wrong with your computer, even when you know there's sod all wrong with your computer. And that is horrific, and that's them through and through. They've done that. So MacKeeper is herpes for your computer. Don't buy it. MacKeeper do porn ads. Maybe that's where I saw it.
No comment.
Muller put that in, so we'll have to change some websites later on. See which ones you watch. Good story, mate. If they really are putting TV ads on your banner ads and that kind of stuff, then on your TV, then that's really shitty. A bookery does says if my TV showed me an ad, I'd shoot it. And also, talking of shooting as well, Richard Dummer says the guy who shot the thing at 200 yards or 200 feet with a shotgun's obviously clearly a very good shot, which is a good point. And also, why don't you use some gaffer tape across the banner ad, Paul? That would work.
Oh, we're so high-tech, aren't we?
Excellent.
Terribly clever.
New ways to advertise and piss you off. It's the title of a book that would get off the ground. Lee, what's yours, mate? What's missing from the kids' internet?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a slow news week, apart from Windows 10, isn't it, really?
Summer, but mate. Christ.
I read this one yesterday. I think it was in The Guardian. And you know me, I'm a dad, and I've got three daughters, and I work predominantly in schools. So internet safety and privacy for kids is something that I've got a real sort of interest in. Now, this article stems from David Cameron's plans to try and block porn sites by default in the UK. And the only way that you're going to be able to access them is to verify your age via a credit card rather than just, you know, scamming a fake date of birth within there. Now, I don't want to talk about the rights and wrongs of the great firewall of Cameron, as you have touted it. But what I do think, and this article completely agrees, is that having a firewall that does that doesn't get anywhere near to the hub of the issue. And I just wanted to have a chat about it with regards to like parenting and how much of a responsibility the parents should have to be able to bring up their children in the ways of the internet in this internet age. Do we do enough as parents? Is there more that we should be doing? Or should we just be burying our heads in the sand and saying the government will sort that out because they'll get all the blocking done themselves, which I know a lot of parents actually do.
Well, I mean, see, now this is the interesting thing, because I gave Ellis he's always had a Mac in his room, and I put the junior features on for his profile so I could be the one that controls it, etc. And I ended up taking them off because it became such a pain in the arse. He'd go to Minecraft at Mojang.com, and it'd be like, oh, add this list to the approved websites. Otherwise, you can't, Dad! And I had to go upstairs and I had to sit and type in the admin password to approve it. Thank you, okay, right, mate, go. And then he'd get to the next page and he'd come up and he'd go, oh, Dad! And I'd go, oh, Jesus, yeah, that's fine, it's Disney.com. And it's just like, it was so shit at doing it that I took it off in the end. And my level of control with my son on his computer at the moment is, listen, son, I don't want you looking at boobs on this, all right? And he goes, okay, Dad. And he doesn't.
No, I completely agree, because at the moment, it's... What was happening there was very much education by restriction, wasn't it? Rather than education by, you know, conversing and cooperating and sitting down with your children and explaining to them the rights and wrongs of what you should be doing on the internet. So, for example, my 8-year-old Lily, who I'm going to be sitting down with her next week, and there's this really good website that schools use called thinkyouknow.org, and we're going to be going there, and I'm going to be going through this little training course with her to show her exactly what happens if you receive a message from somebody that you shouldn't, or, you know, all of that sort of game that 8-year-olds are going to be and above are going to be vulnerable to. But I'm a responsible tech person. I will sit down and I will do that. But what I don't want parents to do is to think that just because David Cameron's sorted this great firewall to be able to protect us, it's not going to be anywhere near enough. Kids that want to circumvent it are going to circumvent it. It hasn't worked in China with their one. They've had so many problems, and you know, they've got more engineers in China than anywhere else. They've got more of everything to do with tech than anything else, and it's failed there. So it's certainly not going to work here. At the same time, there needs to be more of a focus on education rather than restriction, I think.
Well, but that's sorry, Kelly.
Go on, Kel.
Well, go ahead. As an actual parent, you should probably be one to talk about this. I have strong opinions, but I don't really have a skin in this game. So,
it doesn't mean that you can't have an opinion. Just say what you want to say.
Yeah, but in fairness, you deal with a lot of kids with At Camp for Girls, don't you, Kel? I mean,
we know
the importance of being able to sit down alongside and educate and teach and what comes out at the end of it.
Well, the thing to me, though, is that the reason that Ellis is in the situation that Ellis is in is because he has a parent. He has Ewan, who is an active hands-on parent, and he knows that after having had that conversation, if Ewan walks in and sees something on the screen that maybe he shouldn't see, that there's going to be a problem. And to me, this is just like deciding that, oh, the government, it's okay for the government to decide what my kids watch on TV. It's okay for them to decide what books to read. And the government should not be deciding anything for anybody. I don't care how old you are. The end. I don't care where you live. I don't care how old you are. It's not up to the government to decide anything for you. If you are very young and still require adult supervision, then an adult should be supervising. The end.
Yeah, completely
Full
agree.
Full stop, as you say over there. That's the way that it should work. And, you know, if you took all of these articles that talk about the firewall and all of this stuff, and you swapped out the word television for internet, or you swapped out the word radio for internet, or the word books for internet, that article would be terrifying, because everybody knows that that's crap. And, you know, this is not the way that things are supposed to go. And, you know, wars have been fought to make this sort of thing stop, and on and on and on. And to me, that's the reason that this is such a huge issue, is because, yeah, we're going to start with the internet because, oh, it's weird and it's all technology and I don't understand it. And so I'm going to let someone else decide what's good for my kids. Like, first of all, how is that a thing? That it's okay for someone else to decide how to parent your child. Because I'll tell you what, as soon as that becomes okay, I'm going to start talking to people who take their kids out to restaurants and think it's adorable for the kid to eat crayons and then run around the restaurant screaming at the top of their lungs. I'm going to start parenting that kid, because clearly this parent has abdicated all responsibility, and that's going to be fun. So fun for me, not fun for you. So let's keep that in mind. And I find it really frustrating that a lot of people, rather than take a moment and try to understand the technology behind this, and I'm not saying that you have to become a security expert in order to do this. Like, I've given talks about security and about online safety and the super basics. And it comes down to, we haven't had the internet as long as we have had ATMs, for example. So an ATM, everybody knows, because when you get an ATM card, someone sits down with you and has a conversation and says, if you go to the ATM, or at least this happens to me, maybe not to you all because you are all men, but when you're a girl and you get an ATM card, someone sits down with you and has a conversation and says, maybe it's not the best idea for you to stand at the ATM alone at night. Maybe it's not the best idea to stand there and take out $300 and count it out loud while you stand there at the ATM alone at night. There are basic safety things that you can do to make sure that something bad doesn't happen to you when you hit the cash machine. Just like if you drive a car, you get to talk about responsibility. Like, make sure when you park your car that you roll up all the windows and make sure you lock the doors and take your keys with you. And if you have something valuable, don't leave it sitting on the front seat. If you have a nice stereo, take off the face and take it with you. This helps keep people away from your car, because there's always going to be someone else who did leave the windows down, or did leave a door open, or did leave a big shiny box from the Apple store sitting on the front seat. And that person is always going to be a better target. All you really have to do is make sure that you're not as good a target as the other person. And as soon as that happens, then when people are able to be that comfortable with the internet, here's what you do. Make sure that, you know, if you're going to give somebody financial information, make sure it's HTTPS. If you're going to do this, if you're going to talk to anybody about your name, your real name and your real address and all the things that are actual data about you, make sure that you have verifiable proof that that person is who they say they are. Very, very basic things. Like, for me, the rule on the internet is very simple. And that is, if somebody walked up to me and said this in person, what would it sound like? You know, if somebody walked up to me and said, I am Nigerian royalty, and I really want you to just hold on to this bag of money for me until I can come back and get it from you. Hell no, that is not going to happen. So, you know, and then people fall for that kind of stuff online all the time. And I really wish that somebody would expend a little bit of effort, because if people decided to not just abdicate all their knowledge of technology and learn some very, very basic stuff, then something like this wouldn't even be a conversation anymore. It would be a punchline.
That's why I love Kelly.
I should have let writing go first, shouldn't I, really?
I tried.
No, I mean, just think. I mean, she hasn't got any kids. Just how long that would have been if she had kids. Christ.
Well, I would have told you that my kids are allowed to do whatever it is that they want to do on the internet until they need smacked down for doing stuff on the internet they shouldn't be doing. There you go.
Okay. There is a certain proactive element, which you'll come to when you have your own. Ricey, what was your point, mate?
Well, it's the IT curriculum changes a lot in this country. Obviously, having a 12-year-old daughter, none of that is based around internet security, like Kelly says, so I'm in agreement with that. What they do if they get messages that they really shouldn't respond to, but It's the parent. If you sit there letting them sit on their smartphones all day and you don't know what they're doing, then you're not doing a very good job as a parent. You should at least have some grasp of what they are looking at and what they're doing.
I have some sympathy. I mean, this week Ellis got a Facebook message from one of his pals, which was, it started off, "Hey hun," and I'm like, oh, hang on a second, this looks weird. Read it through, and it's a chain letter that you got to cut and paste and send to 10 people, otherwise you're going to die tomorrow. And I had a, because I have his email account in Sparrow, so anything that he does in his email, I can see what he's sent and I can see what he's received. And people would go, well, that's a bit draconian. I don't look that often. It just comes up and I delete most of the stuff that I see from you know, my inbox. It still remains there. It's an IMAP stuff. So he doesn't care that I know and looks. And then when this thing came in, it's like, okay, Alex, right, we need to have a conversation about spam and what it's doing and what it does to the internet and the fact that the chain letter is one of the worst things that you can possibly do. And you're not actually going to die if you don't send it to 10 people, mate, I promise. But that came up because I saw it. Now, there's a lot of kids would say, Mum, Dad, I want a Facebook profile. and their parents don't have Facebook. They're not on Facebook. They don't. Yeah. They're not particularly literate. You know, there's a few people that I work with on a weekly basis, and they come up to me and go, "You know about tech. My daughter wants a computer. What computer should I buy for her? Well, what do you want to do? What does she want to do with it? Compute." And there is that level of understanding people that are my age and younger, because they don't do jobs where they interact with computers. They do jobs where they do manual labour and they work.
Yeah, that is a good point, Ewan, because the one tiny hole that I've got in that, in my opinion there, is that if you were to take like a cross-check of the majority of households and family households, the kids probably know more than a lot of the adults in that case. And we need to do something to be able to let both parties educate almost at the same time. For example, when I do my course with Lillian next week, obviously I'm a techie, I know how to be safe online, etc.
Wouldn't
it be great if
course?
I knew nothing? Wouldn't it be great if I was learning at the same time as she was, and we were educating ourselves together? If the government spent more time being able to get courses and paraphernalia and things out there to be able to educate us rather than restrict, I think that would really, really help.
Have you booked your daughter on this course?
It's an interactive online sort of website, and you know there's loads of games and this, that and the other to be able to play, and we're just going to sit down and do it together, and then I'll just go into detail as to all of the things that we're doing. So there's mock-up scenarios of, you know, people sending you messages, is this a good message, what's wrong with this one, etc. And it's that sort of thing. It's really, really good. I do consultations with schools for this kind of thing, and do presentations, etc. So it's, I can vouch for it. It's a really good one.
Yeah, no. I just got visions of you sat down with iCal trying to show her how to put in the appointment that she's got with you next week to do the course.
Oh, it's scheduled in. Yeah, absolutely.
It's in it. You can't get away from it, can you?
She's
God
productive.
Love OCD. No, I think it's other. The other thing that is hard is things like, so Ellis, Batwinch made a conversation earlier on about, you know, Ellis is a bit young to be looking at stuff like that on the internet, but being scared of Ewan would probably be enough to stop him from doing it. But my son was getting sex education at 7. So there is no letting him decide for himself when he wants to come forward and go, "Dad, where did I come from?" And me being able to tell him in stages, which is what was happening, and he knew more than they were telling him at 7 because he'd asked the question, so we told him. But the school... he's now coming out with questions because of sex education at school that I wouldn't want to have with him yet. I would have those with him when he's a bit older and when he got to the stage of, in his own inquisitive mind, coming round to that thought process and his own question. But I don't get a choice in that now. I can't parent him the way I would like to parent him because the school has decided he needs to know about vibrators at 12 years of age.
What?
So... he knows what a vibrator is thanks to sex education at school. And it's just like, hang on.
Vital.
Vital, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, a clockwork rabbit. That's the story they're reading at the moment.
A clockwork rabbit.
No, it's just...
aren't they?
It's just like, the, you know, they're driving him because they want to make sure that he's aware of it, because they can't rely on the parents to make them aware of it, and they don't want kids to grow up with sexual stimulus because the parents haven't dealt with it. Totally get that, but the pace they're running at is too far, too fast, too further ahead. Plus, the school
talks, the cartoons that they have in schools about Buzz Lightyear and Woody and things
No, we're not having Buzz Lightyear when we've just done a story about vibrators, mate. Buzz.
Oh, my word.
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue, Mom. I think you've got to be careful because I think when it comes to computers specifically, forget about the sex bit because you know every parent's obviously had sex at least once. But the computer thing, I've got great sympathy because I work with lots of people who are not computer literate, and I'm talking about people that are far younger as well. I mean, I get a call periodically from a guy that I used to know in the rugby club. He's the first team captain. He's 25. And he's, I don't do computers, I don't do Facebook, I don't do Twitter, I don't do any of that kind of stuff. I'm not interested. And he's a practical guy. He doesn't do anything with computers. Anything he wants to do, and he rings me up and asks and says, "Can you help me out?" Yeah, no problem, sure. So, it's not. And he's 25. So, I think you've got to be careful. because the parents, and the bit of running around with the crayons in the mouth and that kind of stuff, yeah, totally with you, because I think that's anyone should get that. But computing, I think it's a real two-edged sword, because the people that know think that everyone knows, and very few people know in comparison.
I don't necessarily think that everyone knows, but if I'd taken the responsibility to have a child and do everything I can to raise them, prepare them for the world that they're going to go into, if I don't know anything about something that they have to know about and it's going to keep them safe, it's up to me to make the effort to be able to go and learn that stuff.
Well, said very easily from the position of the fact that you know about it, though, Lee. And I see a lot of people who don't know about it, and they shouldn't be restrained from having a child because they can't operate a computer. Steady on, man.
No, I'm not saying that.
I don't know. That seems like a pretty good bar to set. No,
I'm not saying that they shouldn't have a child because they don't know how to use a computer. What I'm saying is, they've got a responsibility to be able to make sure that their child is prepared for the age that we live in. And this is the age that we live in, unfortunately.
So Bryony's really good at gymnastics. Do I have to learn to do the splits?
No, this is like, this is like cars. Like, at some point soon, you're going to teach Ellis how to drive, right? You don't need to know the specifics of how a combustion engine works if your car even has a combustion engine by the time he's old enough to be able to drive. But the way it works is that you know the basic safety. You know the basic, here are some things that you can do to be safe with an automobile.
And that's what you're going to tell him. Kelly. No, because I drive a car, I know those things. But if I've never driven a car, I don't understand cars. I don't know those things. I can't teach him how to drive. I have to send him to someone
who can. No, you cannot. You would have to find someone who can.
Right, and the school is the people who are introducing children to computers. Therefore, the school has the responsibility to teach the kids what the boundaries are of safe online behaviour. Not the parents, necessarily, if they've never worked or understood computers. And there is a lot of people under 30 who don't get computing.
And I'm not saying that everybody has to. I'm just saying that you need to have a resource. And if your kid comes home and says, I want a computer, and you don't understand what they need it for or what it means to bring a computer into your house and setting up internet access and that kind of stuff, then you need to make sure that you have someone that you can rely on in that case. For example, at my house, I'm not very good with plumbing. I don't know a lot about pipes and how everything fits together and what makes all of that work. I know that if I turn on the faucet and water doesn't come out, I have a problem. Because I don't know how all of that works, I have a person whom I call if I have an issue like that. Or like my car, I know how to operate my car, but I can't tell you how the engine works. But if the engine starts not sounding like it is supposed to, I have a person I call, and that person who does understand the engine is the person who resolves that for me. You just need to have a resource for it. And it would be nice if it were school, but I don't necessarily need school. See, here's the thing, is that a lot of times the curriculum is just off because everybody wants to teach. Nobody wants to teach you can enter text into a file on a computer. They all want to teach you Word, or they want to teach you Pages or one specific thing. Nobody wants to teach you, you can look things up on the internet. Here are some ways that can be useful to find the information that you're looking for. They don't want to teach you basic things like what happens if you get a message from somebody you don't know, like super basic concepts. You know, everybody wants to talk about Facebook, not like what if you are on some service and you get some sort of unwanted contact? What do you do about that? How do you handle that kind of interaction? And I think that there are a lot of places for improvement on everybody's part. Because I know when I was in school, you know, the computer had the hand crank in the front and you had to, anyway. I was trying. But like, there really wasn't much of a computer science program where I grew up. A, it was the wilderness, and B, it was longer ago than I'm prepared to admit on the internet. So because of that, I had to learn stuff on my own, and because I had to learn on a bunch of different platforms, because sometimes I was sitting in front of a Unix machine, sometimes I was sitting in front of a Mac, sometimes it was Windows, I had to learn the concepts of that stuff so that I could do it no matter where I was. And I think that there's a lot that could be improved in all kinds of curriculum, whether it's you know, parent-teacher night. Maybe at parent-teacher night, Lee can be a person who gives a quick presentation on, like, if you have a computer at your house, here are some things that maybe you should know, things like that. Like, I don't think it necessarily needs to all be on the school. Just like, you know, if Ellis was an only child, you know, wouldn't you still be expected to teach him a minimum of social skill so that when you send him off to school, he knows how to behave around other people?
Well, there's an awful lot of parents don't have those social skills themselves, so...
I understand that, and that's exactly why that's the example I used. But I think there's a certain amount of parental participation that needs to happen here, and it doesn't, like I said, you know, you don't have to know the traveling path of the electrons across the motherboard and how everything works and, you know, what a server is and how everything is routed. Like, you don't necessarily need all that stuff. You need the auto metaphor of roll up the windows and lock all the doors and take your keys with you. And if you can get that far, you will be less of a target than the person who uses password for everything and goes around broadcasting his email address and his phone number on the internet for all the world to see. You will always be better.
Yeah, I just think that not everyone knows where the window is and where the roll-ups are and that kind of stuff. So I think there's... I see the other side of this because I see the other side because I see the people who are on the other side of that conversation. And
my
heart and sympathies go out to them because it is a very simplistic and blinkered response to say that it's the parents' job to control it. I will not have that in my mind because I've seen them and they're not bad parents because they don't know how to use a computer.
That's, I don't think so either.
It's not...
I'm agreeing with you.
No, it's not within their capability, though. And say, well, find someone who can then, like a driving instructor. Those people aren't there out for them either because they don't move in circles where there are people who are IT literate, who can step in and help, who aren't going to charge them an absolute frigging fortune. I think I think it is not a simplistic thing, and I would rather see, rather than just blanketly heap it on and go, well, you need to be a better parent, I would rather see government take over and deal with some of these issues as they are currently doing, not leave it down to parents. This is an issue that is not parent-based as a fundamental issue because there is a significant number of parents out there who have no capability, either financial or intellectually perhaps, because, and I mean that intellectually not as in they're stupid, as in this is not their sphere of intellect, they are clever in other ways, to get this done and to move themselves forward to control the child and manage the child. I'm lucky. You are all lucky because you have those abilities. There's plenty out there that don't. Absolutely plenty.
I do agree there, Ewan, that, as I said, there needs to be more from the government to be able to educate parents as well as there needs to be to educate. It's just, I used to teach computing for beginners classes a few years ago to people that didn't have computers at home and this, that and the other, and it's amazing how much that we take for granted that they do not know. So I do agree with what you're saying.
I don't know why I need to be quiet, Kelly. You need to explain that to me later.
No, I was just, because Lee and I are both, I know Lee and I both are explainers by nature, and so I was trying to make a joke. I know, because it's a podcast, it doesn't do good if there's silence, but if you're really quiet for a minute, Lee, you can hear the business opportunity here, can't you?
Yes, I know.
That's all.
I just find it amazing that Kelly's just asked Lee if he can be really quiet.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus. Kelly, what's your story, mate?
Brian somewhere.
What's your story? Bear in mind, we've only got 2 hours. Go on.
So, well, mine is actually another one from your neighborhood. The UK High Court has overturned its decision about iTunes, and iTunes is technically, the way I understand it, they are breaking a law, if not bending a law, because iTunes promotes a now, again, illegal practice, because if you put in a CD, if you still have a computer with a CD drive, and you put in a CD, iTunes will offer to rip it for you, and that's against the law in the UK again.
Yeah, I mean, there's an article in Macworld, and I think the Register has picked it up at some point as well. iTunes has taken a lot of heat in the aftermath of Apple's launch, with some critics declaring that the app should be dismantled and rebuilt from scratch now that British law has actually rendered iTunes illegal, which it's not. I mean, the software is not the illegal part. It's the doing that's the illegal part.
That's why I said I wasn't sure if it was bending or breaking.
No, I mean, it says because iTunes allows you to take your personal CD collection and back it up and put it in, then you're in a bit of trouble. The only thing I'd say is, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started, if you live in the UK and have copies of your music library on your computer, if a normal human, like normal human beings do, then don't fret, because apparently the government is pretty sure that no one has been or will be taken to court over CD ripping for personal use. And there is a floodgates issue with this one, in that if you prosecute me, then I'm going to make sure that you prosecute everyone else that does
everybody
it.
Else.
No one is, you know, I think if you're sharing your music illegally, different thing entirely. And I don't think even the copyright complainants, apart from maybe the NBPAA, are a bunch of nutcases, and Fergal Sharkey as well from the BPI, are getting that upset over people doing it for themselves.
Well, and that was the thing that to me was interesting, was because the way it went, according to the best of my knowledge, the source is this article on Torrent Freak, because a lot of people seem to be referencing this in their pieces. And I'm trying to find the actual place. They make it sound like basically a bunch of record companies, for the most part, complained. And so then it got, this judgment got overturned. And I thought that was very interesting. I find it sort of frustrating, and hopefully because of the floodgate issue, like you were saying, maybe this isn't going to be anything that happens, and I'm sort of glad of that. But I think that it's very interesting that they would make a logical decision and then change their minds about it. To me, that was the part that was notable, was that somebody complained, and so they've decided to change their mind, even though it's going to be really hard to prosecute anybody under this law. So, like, they've spent time on this, and I'm very confused why that would be. Aside from trying to make somebody happy.
Muller's just put in the chat room, kids don't buy CDs anymore. I wouldn't know where to go and buy a CD anymore, apart from a garage.
Yeah, of course.
Get where?
Virgin? Well, record shops.
Do you still have Virgin Records there?
No, we don't have Virgin Records here anywhere. That was that closed down in the Bullring, I don't know what, 20 years ago? HMV? There's no HMV around here.
Bullring,
okay. They still sell CDs, do they? Wow.
And DVDs. Cool.
Yeah, brilliant. They sell vinyl as well.
Yeah.
Bet the vinyl's huge, isn't it?
No. Yeah, actually, it is, which is weird.
I bet it is for DJs. I bet the DJs love the vinyl, man. Yeah. So they can do their wicked whack bit. Yeah, see, I'm down with
kids. Is this the new quiz show? What's still in the Bullring?
What's still in the Bullring? No.
Do, what's still in the Bullring?
About when she's still raving on about Reggie the frigging dog that's a Labrador. That's not the question. Who is Reggie the dog, and where does he live?
In heaven, because he doesn't exist.
No, he does. He absolutely does.
Look on Snoops.
Which Reggie the dog are you thinking of?
He was supposed to be a soldier that died in Iraq.
No.
He
Jesus.
Doesn't exist
according to Snoops. No, Reggie the dog. Oh, God, blimey, this is going to go on forever. I don't know whether to give you the answer at the end of the show or not. Someone's going to write in, have a big phone in. We'll have a quiz. There we go. We'll be a prize. Set a Hoya glasses for anyone that can tell me who Reggie the dog is and where they live.
Right. You're on.
Hey. You're on. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, giveaway prize?
Yeah.
There you go. Right, so if anyone can get... That's mad. That is awesome. So Mark from Hoya has just said, right, new BTN competition, if you can tell me who is Reggie the dog and where do they live, and I'll give you a clue, and the clue is University Challenge, then you can win a set of Hoya specs, just like mine. We're going to talk about these in a minute, actually, but... you could win, because you don't know the answer, do you? You can still enter. There's only one person that knows the actual answer, and it's me.
Yeah, but I don't know what to... I don't wear glasses anymore.
Oh, well.
So that's why I'm jealous. Like, but can they be sunglasses?
We're going to have to restrict this to the UK, though, anyway, I think, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. But it's going to have to be the UK listeners. I do apologise, US listeners. We'll figure something out with the US listeners, don't worry. But there you go. So I want to know the answer to who is Reggie the dog and where does he live? And the clue that you've got is University Challenge. Okay? There we go. And you get a free set of Hoya glasses. How much do these retail for?
400
quid. 400 quid. There you go. Free set of 400 quid glasses if you can get Reggie the dog. That's it. And it's not a frigging black Labrador that Batwinch will have the link to. All right?
Okay. Okay, then can I... you a really awesome story instead of one about illegal iTunes and breaking the law.
That was it. You cut me here, and you want another story now. Go on then.
Well, it's super short. There's a YouTube video of this charger prototype from Tesla.
I've seen that today. That was brilliant.
Yeah, you pull up the car and the thing opens the flap where it would normally be gas, but it's a Tesla, so it's got a little power outlet. And the charger goes, and it finds the spot and plugs itself in. It's awesome. And it's like 30 seconds, and it's awesome. It's super cool. And I really like that's a thing. So, yeah, fun with Tesla. That's the kind of stuff that you watch and you go, I live in the future.
Excellent. So how much is it extra going to cost you on your things? Is it not flexible or is it built to standard?
I have no idea. It's just a video that Tesla dropped on YouTube like this morning or something. And it's pretty neat.
Excellent. Okay. Cool.
That's all. And it's really cool to watch it because it like sits there for a minute straight up in the air. It sort of looks like vertebrae because it's a flexible metal thing. So it kind of sits there for a minute and then it like loops around and works it out and then bam, you see it plug in and it's great. It's super neat to watch it work itself out because there's like no people anywhere. Right. And it starts charging the car. It's awesome.
All right. Paul has put a link in the chat room. If you want to know what link Paul has put in the chat room, then all you've got to do is go to a fantastic thing that Andy Vaughan has done for us. There is a little thing that you'll see called BTN Chatbot, which sits in the room all day. BTN Chatbot basically is gathering all of the chat room and he's putting it at britishtechnetwork.com/chat. That's it. So if you go to that, all you've got to do then is you get a calendar, you click on the relevant day that you want to check the chat over, and you can see the chat room on that day. So if you want to know, just click on 6th of August, and you'll be able to see the link that he's put in. Batwench has got upset because she said Paulums has got it, and then she called him a bad name. Paulums has not got it. Paulums has got, who is Reggie the dog, and what is his address? So you've got to get those two questions. Finding out the bit that Paul did, not good enough, I'm afraid.
Oh, geez.
I'm with Daniel on Daniel from the USA on this one. My vote is a pineapple under the sea.
No. Bad luck. This podcast and all the others brought to you by UK2. They're awesome. All the stuff that we've got, like you know, the chat stuff that we can store, that's all thanks to them. We did have a couple of issues a few weeks ago because one of our discs got... was damaged and needed to be replaced, and they said, oh, it's going to take a couple of hours to rebuild. Is that all right? Yeah, it's fine, don't worry, thanks ever so much. Really appreciate you guys doing it. And I'm sitting thinking, oh man, I hope we've got stuff backed up, because we've got 350 gigabytes of shows. That's how many shows we've got, going back to the Bagel Tech days. There are 350 gigs worth of video and audio shows that you can listen to from BTN, and they're all stored on our server. And I thought, oh man, if we've lost those, because I haven't kept a local copy of any of them or anything like that, they're gone forever. I was really worried, and they went, no, of course we backed them up. There you go. They backed up 350 gigs of the inane shit that we come out with. Fantastic. What a service. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, then you can check out UK2, and they'll give you great discounts as well. So check them out. And also, we've got the 100TB. They are the people who do the live streaming server for us. It's a basic server. It's $139 a month. You can get it if you're a US customer. No problem at all. They do data sharing with the UK as well. So if you're ever over here, you can share some data in the UK. And co-location services work really well between the two of them too. So check them out. Say thanks, please, to @UK2 and @100TB.com if you possibly can, because they're the people that make this network possible, apart from the people that do the shows, of course. Pocket Show's coming back because Paul's got into his new house now. He's decorated the studio, he's wiring all the stuff together, so we will be back to alternate weeks of Gamer Show and Pocket Show.
Excellent.
Want to bring in someone that's new to Big Show listeners. If you haven't done this before, if you listen to the Mac Show, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But this is Mark. Mark is from Hoyer Optics, and Hoyer Optics have got a brand new type of lens out that they've asked me to review. So this is the Hoyer Advantix system, and it's got the Memo Flexi type metal stuff on it. And you guys have made me a set of prescription glasses that work just for the studio.
You saw it.
Yeah.
You saw it with your own eyes, didn't you?
I did see it with my own eyes, and actually I put them on, and the first time I've seen the screen and the camera at the same time. We did this on the Mac Show a minute ago. But so tell us about what's special about these glasses.
Okay, so the first thing is you need to communicate with the optician and tell them what your requirements are, because otherwise you'll end up with something very generalised. What we've done for you, Ewan, is we've made a lens where the focusing is for the studio. So you've got your camera, yep. You've got your screens, those are the primary focusing points. And we've done some calculations and made those points on the lens where you're going to focus the best and give you the maximum field of vision.
Right, okay. So these are available to people in October, so we're a bit ahead of the game here, aren't we?
Yep.
Brilliant. So, and you've asked me to... So now, disclosure here, absolute full disclosure, I can't review a set of glasses I can't see through, so these have had to be made to my prescription. So, yes, there is a free set of glasses on my face, but I will honestly review them and give you my opinion as to what they are. The thing I've noticed, though, or I haven't noticed, is I've had them on since we started the Mac Show, and I feel like I'm not wearing them. They are so light. They're really, really great. And we went up to Hoyer and saw these being made on Tuesday, and it's a fantastic process. I'm going to post a video. You've got to watch it, though. It is absolutely superb. He was so impressed that Muller bought the company. No, he bought a pair of glasses. So check out the video when I put it up. I'll stick it up on the YouTube channel. I'll tweet out some links. And if people want to know more about these glasses, all they've got to do is send an email to Mark at podcast@hoya.co.uk, and Mark will send you more details about how you can do this. And for BTN listeners, you're going to make sure that you cherry pick the people that they can go to get the full iPad measuring user experience, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it gives an idea what location you're in, and we'll cherry pick you, we'll refer you on to somebody we know that we can give you the full Hoya experience.
Brilliant. And you're going to try and be at those as well?
Well, yeah, we've got a team across the UK, and if possible, one of us will be there as well.
That's awesome.
Just to make sure that you get the very, very best.
That's super.
Obviously, that wouldn't normally happen, but...
Yeah, no, because that's because you're a BTN listener, you see. You get that special service. So you'll get the whole iPad measuring with the calipery things on the glasses and choose your style type stuff that I went through on the Mac Show. If you haven't seen it, it's a couple of weeks ago. Just look for the title. Hoy's in the title. And Mark measured my whole face with an iPad and then drew lines and measured the angle of my head compared to the glasses and that kind of stuff. So these glasses are... They're bespoke glasses. They're custom made for my face shape and everything, aren't they? Position of my nose, the whole shebang.
Yep.
So it was great. And then I went and had a half an hour sitting of Mark just tweaking stuff around so that they were absolutely finished off perfectly and sat on my face. And I do love them. I've got to say they're really good. I'm going to struggle to find something bad to write. We do a pros and cons thing on there. I'm struggling for the cons already, I think.
Good.
So there you go. If you want a set of glasses, Reggie the dog, who is he and where does he live? And Mark's offered up a prize there. That'd be interesting.
I might be in trouble on Monday.
You might.
I live with that.
Mark, he used to work for Hoya. and also then podcast@hoya.co.uk. Write to Mark. Mark will sort you out with someone who'll give you the full experience, just like the ones that me and Muller have had, and you will get your glasses made, bespoke. I mean, they're all custom made. It's a production line, but it kind of isn't, because everything's tracked individually, isn't it?
Yeah,
and done individually.
It's a really unusual situation, because it's mass production, but it's bespoke mass production. Every piece that goes through is individual.
There's a barcode with two blank lenses that go in, and the blank lenses are huge. They're like the bottom of a like a Corona bottle, pop bottle, don't they, when they start? They're that kind of size.
So this big.
That size. And they go through a process with a barcode on it, and the barcode is scanned, and the thing gets done absolutely to the specifications. So, thanks for this, mate. I shall play with them for a month, and I shall write a review. But
grand,
fantastic competition. Excellent, pal.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Right, cool things. It's time for the cool thing, and Mr. Garrett, you're going to start us off, old boy.
Okay, I've just popped it in the chat room, and I really, really do like this one. They say, I've been after a joypad for my iPad and iPhone for ages, because I think the quality of games is improving an awful lot on there. Yeah. And there's been a lot of sort of dodgy ones out there. When I've been on Amazon, there have been some really bad reviews of some of the recent ones that have been released. But last week, I took a punt on the Moga Rebel Premium. That's M-O-G-A. And yep, there it is on the screen. It's awesome. It's quite pricey for a gamepad. It's about, yeah. I paid 50 last week, and yeah, it's down to 45 already. The battery life is absolutely superb. In the center there, you'll see that there's a space that actually lifts up, and then you attach your iPhone 6 or 6 Plus quite comfortably into it horizontally. And the games that I'm playing on it at the moment, I'm playing Asphalt 8 on the iPad. That is awesome. Lego Movie on the iPad, Leo's Fortune I'm playing on the iPhone, and currently Modern Combat 5 I think on the iPad as well. It's just like playing on the Xbox. Absolutely superb. You do have to check that your apps are going to be compatible, but there's an app that you can download for free on the App Store called Game Controller Apps. It updates every day, and it will just give you an A to Z list of all of the apps that are compatible. There's an awful lot that are there. It really, really is worth the money for me. The battery life is absolutely fantastic. One qualm I have is you do have to reconnect the Bluetooth every time you turn the device on. But you know, that takes 20 seconds. It's not really a problem. But the gaming experience is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, Bluetooth, I know, trying to pair my, I periodically have to repair my phone with the car, and that's a pain in the arse sometimes. If it just doesn't want to talk that day.
I will say that Real Racing 3 is compatible, but it is shite. It really doesn't work well on it. But Asphalt 8 more than makes up for it. Really, really good.
Asphalt 8's kind of a bit more, you know, what's the spaceship one?
Wipeout.
It's very Wipeout, yeah. Isn't it, Asphalt? It's very good.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's amazing on a gamepad, though. So much easier than tilting your iPad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's mine.
Okay, mate. Thank you. Great pick. Thank you very much, mate. Kelly, what do you have for us?
So, mine is going to sound not very exciting, but I will tell you why it's exciting in a minute. So, I have a little cable here. And this is a cable from a company called Monoprice. And Monoprice is, if you live in the U.S., Monoprice is your source for cables at a reasonable price. So if you need a cable, an HDMI cable that happens to be unbelievably long because you have to wind up and around and over and through or whatever, you can get one from Monoprice and it'll be solid, but it'll cost so much less than whatever Monster or whoever else is trying to sell you a cable for. So the thing that's interesting about Monoprice, A, you can get them in the UK Amazon store. I did just double check that you can get them there. But it used to be that their Apple cables were, I'm not going to say it was a crapshoot, but they were not MFI or made for iPhone. They weren't certified, which means that sometimes if your OS got fussy for any reason, your cable would have a cow. So, you know, you got a deal on this cable, but then sometimes it would just stop working for no good reason because Apple added that certification mechanism where you the cable has to be certified or you get that little, this is not supported with this accessory notice. And so the cool thing is that now if you can buy cables from Monoprice that are made for iPhone. They're certified, which is awesome because it means that when you buy your stuff, you get this little made for iPhone, made for iPad sticker in your packaging, and that's super awesome. And here's the other thing that's really awesome, and over there you will probably like this even better. So this is a little short cable. They come in all different lengths, and this one you'll see has the little lightning connector on it, and it's super nifty, but you can pop that off, and you have micro USB here. So if you travel with your Kindle or you have an iPhone with a headset that takes micro USB, you now just need the one cable. You can also get a very short one. They have, I want to say it's a 6-inch cable. And you can get a 6-inch cable. And then if you have a battery pack that charges on micro USB and you want to use it to charge your phone, you only need one cable to carry around with it in order to make that happen. So, I just saw the news not too long ago that their cables had gone MFI, which means they will work beautifully with all your Apple devices, which is awesome. And they've introduced this 2-in-1 where you flip it back and you get the micro USB underneath, and that's amazing. And because it's Monoprice, it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. And so I will drop a link in here to the, here's a Monoprice cable. It's not a 2-in-1. It's just a plain old lightning cable on this one, but it's 6 feet long. And sometimes the cable that you get from Apple is too short for whatever. It has to reach back behind the bed. It has to reach across the counter. Whatever, you know, you have an inconvenient outlet situation. And so they have a 6-foot cable and it's certified. And so you don't have to worry about using it with whatever you want to plug into it. It's totally fine. And that one is £18 for the 6-foot cable. And I don't, if it's not the same price as the Apple cable, if it's more, it's not by very much the last time I looked. So I think they're fantastic. I really like their stuff. I have loads of monoprice stuff at my house. I have loads of monoprice stuff in my backpack. I think they're great. And you can get them in the UK. So
thank you very much. Brilliant. Righty boy, what have you got for us?
Well, I thought it was quite cool, and I showed the wife, and she said, oh, I saw that today. But it's how to turn your smartphone into a holographic display for free.
This is awesome.
And I thought, oh, it's a gimmick. I'll put it in the chat room now. And I built it. I've tested it before we came on air today. It won't work on video. But you build, have a CD case, you build a very small four-sided rhombus thing. You put it onto your iPhone. There's a couple of videos that they have for demos, and it actually generates a 3D holographic image onto your, yeah, there you go, you got it there, and it looks absolutely awesome. And I was like, yeah, it's not gonna work. So I sat there and I followed the online video, and I built one, and I thought it actually works, and it really does work. Obviously, it's using the reflectiveness of the thing that you build. And then I was thinking, oh, Jesus Christ. And I looked around, and I've got a fruit bowl that's exactly the same shape.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
And I shoved it on my iPad.
Oh, and?
It looks absolutely freaking amazing.
Really? It works?
It absolutely works. I'll tell you what.
Hang on, Paul, because I'm not on you at the moment with the video. I was showing the video on the website, but hold that bowl up.
Yeah. So I don't. I'll try it now.
I don't know if it'll actually work on screen, but we'll give it live. I just said to the boys here, guess what we're doing after the show?
Yeah.
Live.
I did it 10 minutes before the show. I was sitting there cutting CD cases out into the right format. Let me just see if I've got the right thing.
Spin out the audio. I was getting tired earlier on, but now.
Yeah, and this is me and the missus. You got to do it in pitch dark, really. I don't think this is going to work.
Oh, Bookery said you need the 12-inch iPad Pro for hologram making. Yeah. Go on then.
You might see there that in the middle of this dish now, you're seeing the 3D image?
No, we're not seeing it. Just tilt around a bit, mate. Tilt around a bit.
Yeah, it doesn't work with the light that I've got coming from.
Why don't you? Can you cover your screen?
Turn off the screen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That might
I'm going to turn my chat room off and kill all light. Okay. what you might see.
Can't wait.
Turn it.
You got to turn the whole thing. Just turn the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just try different angles.
You can see how it's kind of glowing up inside.
You've got to turn it, boy. You've got to keep messing.
Oh, I'm messing.
Stop doing it so you can see it. Otherwise... nearly. Go on. No.
I tested it. It doesn't work in video, but it really does work. And you sit there and it actually... I built this mini version here.
Do that on the iPad. On the iPhone, rather.
Okay,
let's see it.
Here we go. Okay, let's try it again. Who you got? You're editing.
Have you tried turning up the brightness on the iPad, they say?
Say it. Yeah, I did a video test and it really doesn't work on video. If you're sitting in a room with no lights at all, no. But you actually see a holographic image sitting right in the middle of this kind of this prism here. And it looks absolutely amazing. And all you've got to do is get a CD case. You cut it by 1 centimeter by 6 centimeters, 3.5 down the side. And you plug it in and you actually get a holographic image right in the center. And this is why I said, all this holographic image thing. She said, oh, I saw a digital spy today. That's not really cool. And then I did it. We turned all the lights off. And it looks absolutely amazing. And you can, out of four pieces of clear plastic, you can actually create a 3D. Because in the link that I've sent you in the chat room, it shows you the demo video that you can link into. And you actually get a 3D image right in the middle. And you can touch it. You can put your finger through it and everything. It's absolutely amazing. I've never... It's the most simple, cool thing I've probably ever done. And you've seen the results on the video I sent you, but it actually looked that good. I was just lucky I had one that was this big, but it doesn't come through very well on the video, but it is absolutely stunning. So if you want to do something really cool, check it out.
Check out your bad self.
Check my bad self, boy. I'll be checking my bad self. But yeah, if you've got like, I don't know, what's the video, the full tutorial, you know, is it about 8 minutes long? Follow it, do it, turn all the lights off, get the kids in, get everyone in, and I guarantee you'll be absolutely amazed about what it does.
Wow.
It's probably the simplest, coolest thing I've ever brought.
Well, no one's going to top that, mate. That's awesome.
No. I'll certainly do that the weekend.
And it really worked. I've done a wife test. It really works.
A wife test.
I hope you did it with the heart.
Yeah, of course I did, yeah. It really, you know, four bits of plastic. There you go. That's Statsco Zeta tape. Little prism. But you really, I'd say, on camera, not fantastic. But do it at home.
Who's the boss on YouTube, if you want to see that. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
I haven't stopped doing show notes. I just haven't had time of late, so I do apologise for anyone that said, oh, you bastard, where's the show notes? What's that? Princess Leia. You want to do Princess Leia? From Star Wars. Oh, sorry.
Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be good. But you have to do the ones that they've got up, surely.
No, you have to, just to be double certain, yeah, they are, they're four-way videos. So you've probably seen that on the thing. They're four-way videos, and those four-way videos all project up onto the four sides of the plastic screen, and then you then get that amazing holographic image.
Right. Okie doke. Brilliant. I would like to do a cool thing, but I haven't got one this week. Sorry. I've been knackered, and I've completely forgotten to get anything together. I'm not going to say that it's with glasses, because I haven't used them for more than about 2 hours so far, but they're very good. So. Right, if you'd like a pair of these glasses, then answer, who is Reggie the dog and where is he living? Okay, the answer, one person in the chat room knows what it's from, they've got that right, but still no one's given me who he is, his full name, and where he is living. The answer's out there. It's definitely on YouTube. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Lee?
You can find me on Twitter at MyProductiveMac, and I've just renamed my website after purchasing a couple of domains from the cracking guys at UK2. Yes. And yes, I used the click-through. So you can find my productivity and well-being ramblings at MyProductiveMind.com. And within the next few weeks, I should be able to get my Apple productivity site up and running, and that is going to be myproductivemac.com.
Yeah, okay. Well done, mate. Batwinch in the chat room has said, is it Winchester? No, that's where he did his business, but that's not where he is living. Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
Sorry, what? I'm distracted trying to figure out who I know who can help me shoot a Princess Leia video for the hologram.
That is more important.
Well, you know, one must have priorities. You can find me on Twitter as Verso. You can find Mike Rose and I on The After Show, which is actually a thing again. Now that we are both on the same continent for an extended period of time, we were able to record a show. It's going to be regular from now on. It's just not going to be weekly. You can also find me occasionally contributing things over at MacObserver.com and on the Daily Observation podcast there.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Where are you, righty boy?
always mate on portals at Twitter, and always, always BritishTechNetwork.com.
Excellent. Thank you, mate. Deep Pan in the chat room has got the right person with the right name, but he still hasn't told me who he's living. The competition is not just that, it is where is he living. So there we go. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Twitter, at Ewan Rankin, at Twitter, on Twitter, E-W-E-N-R-A-K-N. If you'd like some Bless Hoya, podcasts at hoya.co.uk, and you need to send the answer to the question about who is Reggie the Dog and where is he living to britishnetwork@gmail.com. First one in, pair of glasses, maybe, unless Mark's sacked. We'll see. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all next week. Paul is taking over the show next week because I'm out and about. If I've got a connection, I might dial in and give him some grief. But August is pretty busy for me. I only see my kids for 2 days in August. So see you all soon. Thanks for listening.